We do have enough, though.
I'd like to call to order the meeting of the Health, Education, and Welfare. With that, I'm going to ask Ms. Deer if she would give us the invocation, please.
Dear God, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for all the blessings of life, Lord. We ask that you be with us through this meeting, and thank you for all those who have come to attend to the business of the nation, Lord. We ask your blessings on all that is done, and that may be favorable to thy name. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Shirley Nade. Dodie Barnett.
Present.
Johnny Green.
Present.
James Jennings.
Here.
Lucian Tiger.
Present.
And Chair, you got four present and one absent.
Four present and one absent constitutes a quorum. All business conducted will be official. We have our approval of our minutes. Everyone got those on your email.
Madam Chair, make a motion to approve the minutes with any changes.
Motion made by Mr. Tiger for approval of the minutes with the changes. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Barnett. Roll call vote, please.
Dodie Barnett?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Lucian Tiger?
Yes.
I'm sure you got three in favor and zero against.
Three in favor, zero against. The minutes are approved for December the 8th. Order of business. First is TR-15-003, a tribal resolution of the Muscogee Nation authorizing the Principal Chief to execute a Siemens Medical Service Agreement between the Muscogee Creek Nation Medical Center and Siemens Medical Solutions USA. Sponsor is Ms. Barnett.
Motion due pass.
Motion by Ms. Barnett for due pass. Is there a second? Second by Mr. Tiger. Discussion?
Thank you, Chairman and members of the committee. This service agreement is for the Siemens Mammography Unit located at the Muscogee Creek Nation Medical Center. This service agreement, which allows for 24-hour coverage for 7 days a week, for a fee of $5,254 per year. And I would also like to bring out the dates on that contract. There is an error on those dates, and I have a correct one that we will get to you for the duration of this
agreement. Okay, any questions? Any comments? Not roll call vote, please.
Dodie Barnett?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Lucian Tiger?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you get three in favor and zero against.
Four in favor, zero against. That motion passes.
Three in favor, zero against.
Three in favor, zero against. That motion passes. Next is TR-15-004, a tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the Principal Chief to execute a contract on behalf of the Muscogee Creek Nation Department of Health and the Oklahoma State Board of Osteopathic Examiners. Sponsors, Ms. Barnett.
Motion due pass.
Motion by Ms. Barnett for due pass. Second by Mr. Tiger. Discussion?
We currently use the Oklahoma State Board of Medical Board to monitor physician license. That's through the EMDs, and that costs $60 a month. And what that does is helps us keep all the licensures up to date. Well, the DO process was not electronic. We had to do everything by phone call. It takes 2 to 3 weeks to get any response. And so what happened is the DOs have combined with the EMDs with the Oklahoma State Medical Board, and now that process is combined. And this will add $15 per month, what we're currently, which will be $75 per month. And so this just allows us to review all licensures, because the process with the DOs now is call, get put on hold, and it takes several weeks. And now we'll just be able to get on their own, identify, see if they're compliant. on state regs, and we're able to move forward with them.
Any questions? Roll call vote, please.
Dougie Barnett.
Yes.
James Jennings.
Yes.
Lucian Tiger.
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 3 in favor and 0 against.
3 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Next is TR-15-005, a tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the principal chief to execute a uniform hospital affiliation agreement on behalf of the Muscogee Creek Nation Department of Health and the Oklahoma State University College of Osteopathic Medicine. Sponsor is Ms. Barnett.
Motion to pass.
Motion by Ms. Barnett to pass. Second by Mr. Tiger. Discussion.
This is just an update agreement with the OSU Medical School to allow us to bring their medical students in that provide, we provide clinical rotations with them, and our providers serve as their clinical director while they're here on site, and we have gained several physicians out of this process after they have trained with us.
Thank you. Any questions? Not roll call vote, please.
Shirley Nade.
Yes.
Dougie Barnett.
Yes.
James Jennings.
Yes.
Lucian Tiger.
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Next is TR-15-006. A tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the principal chief to execute a participating provider agreement on behalf of the nation's Department of Health with Dentigra Insurance Company. Sponsor is Ms. Barnett.
Motion due pass.
Motion due pass by Ms. Barnett, second by Mr. Tiger. Discussion.
Thank you. We are currently not in network with this particular insurance company, so we are seeking to become a provider so that we are able to collect third-party revenue instead of writing this insurance.
This is for all for dental.
Yeah, this is a particular dental insurance. Uh-huh. This is just another type of dental insurance that we currently are not on their provider list, and so we're not able to collect if those patients have. Kind of like the community care, we weren't signed up
yet.
Any questions?
I have one question. Can you just give us an idea of the revenues that will be able to be recovered from this?
I think this one is, it's a small portion from this group. We have identified several insurance groups that were not providers.
It's okay if you don't have it. I was just like curious if it was like 5% of our patients or 10% or.
It's less than 5% with this particular group because this is not a very popular insurance group.
I've never heard of it, that's why I was asking.
But we're able to, you know, we write off, to just kind of give an idea, we're writing off about $7 million a year from being Indian beneficiaries and also those groups that, like community care was a big one that we were not on the provider group. So $7 million is so that's what we're doing is identifying those groups, working with those companies, and this has taken quite a bit of while to do that. It is kind of a difficult obstacle to try to, you know, because we're a native tribe. And so we're breaking some barriers going with these groups and they will, because we have those community hospitals, as we see everyone that has helped out a lot in having those groups come.
Do you see further down the road that we will be able to help, like with crowns or braces?
Yes, ma'am. As we talked, you know, we had a list of dental where we had orthodontics, that was number 4, and we had oral surgeons and so on. We brought the orthodontics in. We're still going through. Since he was from out of state, he had become board certified in Oklahoma, which he accomplished. And so we will start to roll out braces and everything like that for our patients not too much further down the road. and we are very close to bringing an oral surgeon in to our facilities also that will provide all our oral surgeries in our dental facility. And as crowns and all that other stuff, we have two native providers that we're talking to try to either bring them in or get them down here several days a week.
Great. Sounds good. Any questions? Not. Roll call vote, please.
Shirley Nade.
Yes.
Tony Barnett.
Yes.
James Jennings.
Yes.
Lucian Tiger.
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Next is TR 15-007, a tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the principal chief to execute network participation agreements with Blue Cross Blue Shield of Oklahoma on behalf of the Department of Health. Sponsors, Mr. Tiger.
Madam Chair, make a motion to pass.
Motion by Mr. Tiger for due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Barnett. Discussion?
This is just, thank you. This is just an update, network participation agreement with Blue Cross and Blue Shield. And as we were talking about, we have 9,000 Creek citizens from 0 to over 65 that are uninsured in our system. And, you know, since we have Blue Cross and Blue Shield as an insurance that is provided to our employees, I will be taking these numbers and working with them to see if there's an opportunity that some way that we can help those individuals that don't have health insurance get health insurance. So, and that's working with Blue Cross and Blue Shield.
Thank you. Any comments, questions? No. Roll call vote, please.
Shirley Nade.
Yes.
Dodi Barnett.
Yes.
James Jennings.
Yes.
Lucian Tiger.
Yes.
And Trey, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Next is TR 15-008, a tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the principal chief to execute a group practitioner agreement with TriWest Healthcare Alliance on behalf of the Department of Health. Sponsors, Mr. Tiger.
Madam Chair, make a motion to due pass.
Motion by Mr. Tiger for a due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Barnett.
What the VA has done, this is an agreement that will allow our clinics to be service provider in this network. And what has happened is the VA has combined with TriWest to provide specialty, kind of like another insurance, to provide specialty care for their VA. And so they work with the Blue Cross also. So, but that's what this is. VA has contracted with them, Blue Cross, to help provide this for their veterans. And we're just becoming a provider so that if we have orthopedic surgeon here, and they can come here, we work with the VA and provide that service here, then we would get reimbursed.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Questions? Not. Roll call vote, please.
Shirley Nade.
Yes.
Dodi Barnett.
Yes.
James Jennings.
Yes.
Lucian Tiger.
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Next is TR 15-009, a tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the principal chief to execute an application for reimbursement with the Oklahoma State Department of Health Trauma Care Assistance Revolving Fund. Sponsor again is Mr. Tiger.
Madam Chair, make a motion to due pass.
Motion by Mr. Tiger for a due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Barnett. Discussion?
Madam Chair.
Thank you. There's two, at this time, there are two resolutions in regards to this health trauma care assistance. The first resolution is in regards to allowing us to participate in the program, and the second is allowing us to participate for reimbursement. This particular item here, we would have to come back every quarter to get one passed because we have so many. That's their reporting requirement. So there's language in this particular resolution that will allow us to do it just annually instead of coming every quarter to the council asking permission to move forward with reimbursement on these participants.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions? No questions. Roll call vote, please.
Shirley Nade.
Yes.
Dodie Barnett.
Yes.
James Jennings.
Yes.
Lucian Tiger.
Yes.
And Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Next is NCA 15-001. A law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing a special appropriation to the Oklahoma City Muscogee Creek Association. Sponsors, Mr. Hill.
Madam Chair, I'm making a motion to postpone this until next month's meeting.
Motion by Mr. Tiger to postpone until next month. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. A. A roll call vote, please.
Shirley Nade.
Yes.
Dodie Barnett.
Yes.
James Jennings.
Yes.
Lucian Tiger.
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. NCA 15-001 is postponed until February's meeting. Next is NCA 15-002, a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing a special appropriation to a Muscogee Creek citizen. Sponsors, Mr. Jack.
Madam Chair, make a motion to pass.
Motion by Mr. Tiger for a due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Barnett. Mr. Jack, would you like to?
Yes, she's trying to pursue her career, and she works for the tribe. She's unfortunate she couldn't be here today because she's at work, and she's going to be taking online classes. So.
Do you have any questions?
No.
Mr. Jennings?
Dr. Johnson?
Yes, sir.
Is this not part of the new program, or is it a different?
She's well, not currently enrolled.
Oh, she's not?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have another question for Dr. Johnson, or I guess your hiring director isn't here today, is he? So how many people have come for that assistance, for that program that we set up for the emergency assistance?
I would say at least 20 to 25 so far. unfortunately, a lot of them think that we're a bill-paid grant rather than that. Assisting with continuing education. So a lot of them haven't been. I would say, majority of them haven't been eligible simply because they aren't in school.
Well, that may be something that we want to look at in the future because I know a couple of us have expressed concern when we passed that. The ones that were trying to get back in school was going to not help any of them. And, I mean, this bill is only $208. That's all she's asking. But she's not a student, so she wasn't eligible for this program that we both applied for.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just want to.
Well, and I think part of that is attributed to the fact that the legislation was written to say that they had to be in school.
Because mm-hmm. We didn't want them to drop out of school and never go back. I get the logic behind it.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Madam
Chair. Thank you. Any more questions? Concerns? Not. Roll call vote, please.
Shirley Nade.
Yes.
Dodie Barnett.
Yes.
James Jennings.
No.
Lucian Tiger.
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 3 in favor and 1 against.
3 in favor, 1 against. That motion passes. Will be sent to BF&J for funding. This is NCA 15-003, a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation amending MCNCA Title 34, Section 3-102E, in order to delete income guidelines. The Sponsor is Mr. Tiger.
Madam Chair, make a motion to pass.
Motion by Mr. Tiger for a due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Jennings. Discussion, Mr. Tiger.
Ms. Scott, Ms. Giles, you're the one you want. Ms. Scott.
In September of 2013, we revised the medical travel, and a council member had requested to put income guidelines in there so they couldn't exceed over $75,000. Here lately, we've been seeing a lot of symptoms of cancer, and I think we've been so recently have a family that has to travel to Illinois, Chicago, and thousands of dollars. Fortunately with him, they're not over the income, but having cancer and having to spend all that, it's really expensive. And it doesn't matter if you're making $100,000, you're going to need assistance. So I just request if we can take that, the income guideline out. And it's travel funds.
Thank you.
Mr. Jennings.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I agree with this change in the income. I don't feel like that cancer has an income guideline. It doesn't matter how much money you make, you know. So I'm in favor of this. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Any more concerns or questions? Roll call vote, please.
Shirley Nade.
Yes.
Jody Barnett.
Yes.
James Jennings.
Yes.
Lucian Tiger.
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Next is NCA 15-004, a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the expenditure of grant funds awarded to the nation by the United States Department of Health and Human Services Tribal Youth Suicide Prevention Program. Sponsors, Mr. Tiger.
Madam Chair, make a motion to pass.
Motion by Mr. Tiger for a due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Jennings. Discussion.
Ms. Jones, is this for you on the youth suicide prevention?
No.
So?
You what?
It should be health.
Yeah, that would be behavior.
Behavior.
Yes, we already received this grant. We're just asking to expend the funds.
Yep. Questions? Roll call vote, please.
Shirley Nade.
Yes.
Dodie Barnett.
Yes.
James Jennings.
Yes.
Lucian Tiger.
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Next is NCA 15-005, a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the expenditure of grant funds awarded to the nation by the United States Department of Health and Human Services Native Connections Program. Sponsor is Mr. Tiger.
Madam Chair, make a motion to pass.
Motion by Mr. Tiger for a due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Jennings. And this is awesome.
Madam Chair, Mr. Smith, I believe the same way, matching yeah. funds.
Yes. Yeah.
Any questions? Not roll call vote, please.
Charlie Nade.
Yes.
Jody Barnett.
Yes.
James Jennings.
Yes.
Lucian Tiger.
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Next is NCA 15-006. A law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing a special appropriation to the Shakota Indian Community. The sponsor is Mr. Tiger.
Madam Chair, make a motion to pass for discussion.
Motion by Mr. Tiger for a due pass. Is there a second? Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Jennings. Discussion?
Yes, Madam Chair. Board and President, Mr. Shakota, to come forward, please.
Shakota.
President Jones.
Yeah, I've got a question. I've got something to say, actually. Thank you, President. A little past history, so some of the council and some of everybody knows that. And August of 88, there was an NCA, it was 88-48, and Scotia Indian community, a lot of different communities, for economic development got a loan from the nation to actually start their economic development. In August of 1995, they had paid back their $95,000 that they had actually got their loan for the economic development. That's what that was economic development, to start the bingos and stuff. So as of August 1995, they had actually paid back $195,000. So that's how it all started. And then that's how the gaming started, with each community trying to get economic development for each one of them. So, and I know the majority of the council and the committee knows, but just so for some that don't understand is that, you know, they're trying to pay that back, and since the gaming communities grew so much and there was such a large amount that we still had a 50-50 split at the time. When they first had the very initial loan, $95,000, it was a 60-40 until they paid it off. Then they paid it off. Then gaming grew way, way big. And then they had their actually 50% that they had saved all these different gaming communities was taken away in past administration. So being that said, their monies that they had set aside in the savings was taken away. So now they've had to come for the last 5-6 years, come back begging us pretty much is to fund them. And it's not really fair that they have to keep coming back and keep coming back without any type of economic development. Being that said, in the last 4 or 5 years, we've made promises to, we're going to help you with economic development for all the communities and the gaming communities. But that don't seem like that's came about, where we're lacking to help them find economic development, helping them to fund that. Because I don't think they'd be here today to try to get funding, you know, if they had their money from the savings that they had before. So being that said, I do feel like that, you know, I know the stipends, that is a concern, but I feel like, and one thing I need to know is for community research and development, do we pay stipends from other communities? Is there a budget or stipends figured in on that? Do you know that?
Since I've been on council, no. We have not approved budgets that have stipends in there.
With any communities?
That is correct.
One of the things I wanted to know, but I think it should be a priority that we push economic development for all of our communities, so because they are the tribe, not just, you know, up here in the government side. So I just want everybody to know that I really feel strongly that we support them. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Burkle?
Yes. I'm Mildred Burkholder, chairman of Chicote Indian Community, and we're here today to ask the council members that they would pass our budget. I came into office in October, but I believe that there was two budgets previously submitted for Chicote Indian Community, and they were, in a sense, denied. We went back and modified this third budget to the lowest that we can get it. We have modified some of the programs, and in the past, with the lawn mowing program, we've been able to buy equipment and provide services to our citizens, and we have modified on the previous, but I didn't bring it here with me here, but we have modified it to the bare minimum, and if stipends are concerned in that budget, then I would ask that we come back and be able to modify that budget to increase cost in some of those programs that we did decrease.
Madam Chair?
Yes, I'm sorry.
I wanted to address some of the issues. Again, this is just my opinion. I'm just going to vote. These are my opinion and my concerns. First off, you address the stipends, and I don't feel that we can appropriate funds and then be using stipends, because we have other communities that have boards and they don't have the same, I would call it, luxury as getting stipends through an appropriation. Second off, I'll refer to Mr. Jones on this. The audit expense I see with you having a smoke shop, it's under my understanding, correct if I'm wrong, please, Mr. Jones, that the smoke shop should be able to pay for the audit expense. Is that correct?
Thank you, Mr. Tiger. Title 11
page 17 of the Title 11 and section 603A actually addresses that for revenue generating enterprise that's being run by the community. That single annual audit is to be responsibility of the community. So that's in legislation.
Thank you. I've got a couple more for you, please. Also, on the repair and maintenance, would that building being property of the nation, would the nation be responsible for the repairs and upkeep and maintenance of the property?
That would be under the responsibility of the maintenance, facility maintenance budget of the tribe.
And then one more building, the liability insurance, is that covered by the nation as well?
That would be covered in the risk management of the tribe.
Thank you very much. Were you aware of stuff that we talked about, you know, about the audit expense, the repairs and maintenance, and the liability insurance?
Yeah.
One, two, three, four items removed, that would bring your budget to $80,500. And with that, I make a motion to amend this amount from $143,900 to $80,500.
Is that a motion?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion has been made by Mr. Tiger to amend the amount of the budget from $143,900 to $80,500.
Retract my motion, please. Yes, we've got another piece to discuss.
Oh, okay. Okay, Mr. Jennings.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In one of the previous meetings, there was an issue about the lawsuit from the community against the nation. And, I see you have a motion to dismiss. Should that be with or without prejudice?
What does it say in there?
Without.
It says without. I'm asking the Attorney General's office.
What was the question? With or without prejudice?
Yes.
Can I look and see it?
Yes.
Okay. If it were to be dismissed with prejudice, it means it cannot be refiled. Without prejudice means it
can. That means they can bring it back.
Correct.
And with that being filed that way, as without, I can't support it. So that gets you.
Madam Chair, with that being said, is there a problem with the community of changing the verbiage in this through your attorney to where, therefore, if you are appropriated funds, you can't turn right back around and sue us? That's what we're trying to protect ourselves from.
Well, we discussed that in the meeting, and I'll ask Wilson for help here. But, you know, what we discussed that, and I believe there was a statement that we were not in agreement with. You know, one concern we have is that, you know, AJ had said, you know, we were a community in the past that never came to the nation for budget appropriation or asked for anything because we were viable, we were prospering, and beyond our control, all of our funds have been confiscated, and we have no way of supporting or carrying on the programs or keeping our people in the community employed. And, you know, this is a concern. Wilson helped me on what that, do you remember what the wording was that you didn't agree with?
Our attorney?
Yes.
Our attorney said that in that motion that if we agreed to drop the lawsuit, then y'all would more or less approve our appropriation. But also, he said that was kind of like blackmail, too. If you don't drop your appropriation, then we're not going to vote for it. And I told him, I said, well, that'd be about like me saying, if the National Council don't vote for our appropriation, then maybe one of their houses get burned or something like that. You know, it's the same principle to me. And I don't know where we'd get the funds to refile anyway. Attorneys are pretty expensive. And as far as I know, we don't have any future filing anyway, because I think the court took care of everything there.
But with that being said, would there be an issue of bringing this back in front of the community, asking or however that
process needs to take place. The verbiage changing that from without to with.
The McBeans has already said that we wouldn't go on a fight Creek Nation anymore.
Right, and I do understand that, but still, with the way that's worded, it's still subject to 10, 15 years down the road that can come back again.
I think the statute of limitations run out before then.
Okay. Thank you.
Barnett.
You said your attorney said that it was like blackmail, the council blackmailing you?
Yes, I think he said that in a letter he wrote us.
Who is your attorney?
Greg Meyer.
I don't recall speaking with him.
You know what?
Has he come before the council?
He's been our attorney all through this court case.
Has he come before the council to have this opinion of us?
No, he hadn't been before the council, I don't think. Not that I can remember. I know he'd been before the court.
Thank you.
Yeah.
In your budget, you have listed $16,000. Oh, okay, no. I see what that is. It's a little while we're using the community fund. My next question is the community Christmas program. $7,000. The communities, as well as the churches and ceremonial grounds, all receive Christmas money.
No, we in the last few years, since I've come back on council, no one in the community has received any type of Christmas money. Normally time in the past, the best I remember, there have been something for the elders, providing them a Christmas dinner or something like that, but no money have been exchanged.
Mr. Jones, am I misunderstanding the way that...
My understanding, and that's not generated through our office, that you talk about the $2,000.
Yeah.
I think that's just a direct payment from the administration or the nation to the communities, and it goes to all communities. And I think there is some kind of language to be used for elderly or children or something like that, to that nature. But I think some communities do turkeys, hams, some do dinners, and they accentuate that money with community monies.
Because if I may make one comment, what occurred this time is that when we received the money from Creek Nation, we had several families. We allowed a certain time for certain numbers to come in, and the money that we received from Creek Nation exceeded, well, it wasn't enough. Our costs exceeded what we had received, so this is one of the line items that we use for, you know, to supplement what we received from Creek Nation.
Thank you, Manager.
Any more questions, Mr. Tiger?
Mr. Brady, you did receive $2,000, correct?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
And on top of that $2,000, we used it for turkeys or ham, and we had the whole community come in and sign up if they want turkey or ham, or whoever was available to sign up. That's how we dispersed that.
All right. Thank you.
Well, I feel the same as Mr. Tiger and Mr. Jennings about this action without prejudice. That needs to be changed, definitely, because it can come back. Whether we say it will not be, they will not do it again, we don't know.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
With that, I make a motion to postpone this until next month's meeting, please.
Motion by Mr. Tiger to postpone until next month. Is there a second? Second by Mr. Jennings. Roll call vote, please.
Shirley Nade?
Yes.
Dirty Barnett?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Lucian Tiger?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. NCA 15-006 is postponed until our February meeting. Thank you. Next is NCA 15-007, a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing a special appropriation of funds for the Muscogee Creek Nation to enter into a partnership with New Tech Academy at Alice Robertson Junior High School in Muscogee, Oklahoma. I would like to give time for Ms. Felicia to speak before we
Originally, it came from the chief's office with Dodie Barnett as a sponsor and Joyce Deere as a co-sponsor. And before that, Representative Deere gave me the information about it. But since then, the personnel and chief's office sent me emails regarding Representative Barnett. And I had contacted her about a support letter from the superintendent because I know that's important to this committee, that the superintendent be in support of any legislation regarding appropriation for the schools, or donation rather. So I was just assumed that that was correct. And so that was my mistake. So Julie Steer should be the sponsor actually and not Representative Barnett. So it was kind of a joint mistake.
Okay. Thank you. But then I'll have to go for a motion.
Madam Chair, I make a motion to approve.
A motion by Ms. A for Dukas. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Tiger. Discussion.
Madam Chair, I'd like to call on Ms. Deere. Make some comments on this.
Okay.
I'm excited about this legislation. I believe it's a good opportunity for our students in Muskogee Public Schools, and I also feel like it's a good opportunity for the nation to support it because it is a new tech center. There's not another one in Oklahoma, in the state of Oklahoma, and I believe it would be good for the nation to support it. But we do have some representatives from the Muskogee Public Schools. I'd like to welcome you to the Muskogee Nation and ask at this time for them to make their presentation and answer your questions.
Okay, thank you.
Chairperson, my name is Jared Adair.
Thank you.
I am the interventionist for Indian Education at Alice Robertson Junior High. And New Tech Academy is the cutting edge, leading way for students to learn. And the whole concept is based on project-based learning, and it's a very strategic, rigorous way of thinking. All students will participate in projects in all areas of curriculum that will help them be better citizens and go on to college. The success rate's about 95% of students who go through New Tech attend a college, and here at Muskogee Public Schools, we desire to enter a partnership with the Creek Nation so that the cultural component of New Tech would be incorporated through the nation, and that they would join us in that so that Native kids and non-Native kids could do their project-based learning on the Creek Nation and get that part out of it.
Okay. Are there any questions for Mr. Adair?
You know, when you said project-based learning on the Creek Nation, what do you mean by that? Are they going to do projects that the tribe or incorporate that in somehow? Or?
Yes, there's in the project-based learning students, if they were doing a history day project, part of that project, we would want the Creek Nation to be incorporated in that, to where that student's doing a history day project over the Creek Nation or a citizen of the Creek Nation. And then the community liaison part would be the Creek Nation would in turn bring people over to New Tech to help chaperone that project as it goes from start to finish into the presentation point.
Okay, thank you.
Master?
Yes.
And there, if I'm reading this correct, there's going to be 200 students involved in this, correct?
Yes.
Okay. How are the applications, how are you going to determine the applications?
The applications are open online, and the student has to be willing to go into the program. We try to keep it a mix of the whole school system, meeting all races. Everybody has equal opportunity to enjoy that program.
Thank you.
Speaker.
Mr. Adair, I noticed that in your draft that most of your students were Cherokees.
Mm-hmm.
How are they? Are they enthused about learning about our language and about our culture as opposed to theirs?
Currently, right now, we have a NASA program in Indian Ed, and our students are open to learn about any culture because most of our Native students don't know any Indian culture. So we want to make sure that they know, and being within the jurisdictional boundaries of Creek Nation, we want the Creek Nation to be the leading culture that they're being taught.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Carter?
Is it Cherokees? Are they going to donate any of this? Is it from the Creek Nation?
We are asking from the Creek Nation. We are also pursuing the Cherokees, but we've had no response back from them at this point. We are also seeking other funding through grants with Google. We're applying to the Jimmy Johnson Foundation grant. Dow Tile has partnered with our school to get 14,000 square feet of tile. Muskogee Public Schools has put $3.8 million up for the school and will pay for the salaries of the teachers and the administrator.
Mr. Andrew, how many Creek students do you have going attending?
At Alice Robertson, We have close to about 40 students. Our JOM count is 175. But for New Tech Academy, there's 904 future JOM students that would come through that school potentially.
And you didn't have enough Creeks to make application to this program?
We're just now starting the application phase of the school, so we have Creek students that will be applying for it.
Okay, thank you. Are there any more questions? Ms. Dear.
Jared, I would just like to ask you to introduce the other two people that are with you from the school.
Yes, this is our head building principal, Ms. Peggy Jones, and that's Mr. Brian Warner. He will be the administrative principal over the New Tech Academy.
Thank you. Yes.
One question. Is this going to be a yearly appropriation? If there's a partnership that you're going to come every year, is it going to be in the CAB, or is this a one-time deal?
This is a one-time deal.
Mr. Tiger.
Out of 900 JOM students, how many of those are Creek citizens? What percentage?
234. It should be on that page.
25%?
Yes.
Thank you.
Mr. Jennings?
Mr. Adair, is David Walkenstick, is your JOM coordinator? Or?
He's the director of Indian Education. Okay. However, this project he has nothing to do with. I've taking the lead on to make sure the Indian Ed is overseeing this.
But he's from Cherokee Nation.
He's from Cherokee Nation.
Okay. Thank you.
Any more questions? Discussion?
Mm-hmm.
Not. Roll call vote, please.
Shirley Nate.
Yes.
Dodie Barnett.
Abstain.
James Jennings.
No.
Lucian Tiger. Madam Chair, you've got one in favor, two against, and one to abstain.
One in favor, two. What was it, one, two?
One in favor, two against, and one to abstain.
One to abstain. Okay, so that motion fails. Thank you. Another business, we have NCA 15-016, NCA 15-017. It's the wish of this committee.
Madam Chair, I make a motion to add NCA 15-016 and NCA 15-017 to the agenda.
Motion made by Ms. Barnett to add NCA 15-016 and 017 to the agenda. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Tiger. Roll call vote, please.
Shirley Nade.
Yes.
Dodie Barnett.
Yes.
James Jennings.
Yes.
Lucian Tiger.
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. We will add those two NCAs to our agenda. First being NCA 15-016, a a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing a supplemental appropriation for the Muscogee Creek Nation Head Start Program fiscal year 2015 budget. Sponsors, Ms. Barnett.
Madam Chair, I make a motion to pass.
Motion by Ms. Barnett for a due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Tiger. Discussion, Ms. Barnett.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. James and Lucian and I attended one of the quarterly meetings that the Head Start Board has last year. And we had talked to the then director at that time, and she was going to come and ask for special appropriation for technology because the Head Start centers are not actually set up currently with what they need to do our literacy program. A decision later was made, and I specifically asked at the budget hearing that money was in there because it wasn't specified in line items in her budget. I said, money's in here for those computers, right, for the kids, and she said yes, and so I honestly just assumed it all had been taken care of, and upon contacting Head Start to want to see the new technology and talking to Dr. Johnson, it was never actually done. So this is something that really should have been done about 10 months ago from previous discussions that we had had. So do you want to specify to the budget and what all you're going to buy with the money and everything for the Head Start?
We're going to buy, we're going to purchase 225 new iPad 2s so that each of our six Creek Nation Head Starts, every child will have an iPad in the classroom.
Madam Chair.
Ms. Tiger.
Can anyone tell me why this wasn't in the budget? How this was worked out, please?
I will.
Thank you.
May or may not know, I removed Susanna Barnett, who was at the time the Head Start director, and in doing so, it was discovered that the request made by this committee to amend the budget to include this was not approved, and along with actually quite a few other things, you know, as well. I think this program has been pretty much self-sufficient in terms of what funding it gets from the feds, you know, as well as other state grants. So we've never come to this council, this committee, asking for additional funds. At the time I did interim manager, I asked for an inventory of the kinds of technology that exist at our Head Starts. As an educator, I have to say it's pathetic. And I think with the literacy program that we have, you know, and our children have no ability to access in these programs, this program. I just don't think this committee would tolerate that. And so we worked with Ms. Barnett to see if she wouldn't sponsor this legislation. And so we put it together, and here we are today. So I'm throwing out all my support as an educator to ask that you support this legislation. Thank you.
Mr. Kenny.
Dr. Johnson.
Yes, sir.
So did it go out through the bid process?
Yes, sir, it did. Yes, sir, we went through our IT program and made it.
Where's the other bids, the other copies of the bids?
It's all right, it's just a cover sheet.
Go get it. I got it.
That's you saying I could have got it.
He's saying you could have got it, but you wouldn't have got back up.
Three bid from the same company.
Is that the one speaking?
It's just that top sheet. Top sheet.
Well, it gives the same appearance because it's a wall. It may have separate entries under this wall. So a lot of times what we're going to do is we'll go through, IT goes through this, and they have scads of vendors that they go through, and they fit them separately. So it's just under this one. It's kind of a catalog, but it has different... different
vendors. Yeah, that's the right one.
What does that mean?
They're just, this is the one, oh, the one and three.
Yes, ma'am.
I only got two. I got the third one at the office. One's a mini iPad 2 and one's a mini iPad 3.
Because wouldn't you really be for the same type of one?
Okay.
The IT department is the one that does these bids because Cindy buys them in bulk. And if it's the wish of the committee to go ahead and proceed with this, we can get you three quotes by the time we go to before planning. And so Head Start, Dr. Johnson didn't do these bids. Actually, IT's the one that did them. So whatever information they were given was given to them by IT, and they have their preferred vendors. I don't know if there are only two. Maybe there's only two tarot vendors. I don't know that situation, but I know Cindy's department's the one that does these bids. So. The only main reason that it was added to this month's agenda is because of the time frame. These already should have been in place by the time this school year started and we renewed the literacy program. If we wait till next month, the kids are going to have like a month with them before summer, and they're not going to get to use them, and they're not going to utilize the literacy program. And you guys know in early education, I mean, it makes a huge difference in that one-on-one instruction. So, I mean, it's the pleasure of the committee. If you guys want to postpone it, wait on those three bids, or if you want to ask that they be submitted before planning, it's up to you guys.
Mr. Coach.
Yeah, I've been before this, but my suggestion is, you know, these iPads are good for adults, but they thought about getting something for these younger children, because they're kind of trying to run. My grandson can break a block of wood. I mean, just, he's not very good with the electronics, let's say, and I'm just kind of curious. They're going to secure these iPads a certain way for the kids to, you know, so they're going to get rough with them. And I just wondering if there's anything out there that the kids could, you know, that is kid safe, I guess, or kid durable and stuff like that.
Well, I'm just kind of curious. Yeah, part of the bid does include a hardback shell.
Okay.
That it fits in.
Yeah.
And then part of the bid is headphone.
Okay. I'm just kind of yeah. But they can lose terror and stuff.
That's Jennings.
Well, my question is, you know, why iPads and not the tablets? Or my grandkids, they got tablet for Christmas for about a third of that cost, you know, I mean, I'm not sure.
Well, you know, obviously, you know, I think for the most part with the literacy program, an iPad is certainly more than adequate. You can still do a lot of things, you know, with an iPad that you can say do with a Chromebook and you can get, you know, Chromebooks, you know, fairly inexpensively as well. But since we were more focused on the ability of the children to learn to use this kind of technology, we felt like it was a better deal. And it certainly was, obviously we're more conscious of being cost effective, you know, with the technology. And, I mean, we could have asked for
certainly something a little bit more elaborate, but we didn't think we needed it at this time. This would give us the opportunity as well to provide an iPad for all of the children, single, individual. You know, I think this gave us the best opportunity to do that.
Could you introduce the staff from Head Start?
Gannetta Tate, Cora. Cora is my acting director. And Teresa, she's one of them.
I'm Amber Simpson.
Oh, and Amber, I'm sorry. And Betty.
Okay. Thank you. Any more questions? Roll call vote, please.
Shirley Nate.
Yes.
Dottie Barnett.
Yes.
James Jennings.
No.
Lucian Tiger.
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 3 in favor and 1 against.
3 in favor, 1 against. NCA 15-016 passes. Next is NCA 15-017.
A law to BFNJ too.
Oh, yes. We'll be forwarded to BFNJ for funding sources. A law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing a special appropriation to a Muscogee Creek citizen. Sponsor is Mr. Randolph. You have a motion.
Madam Chair, I
make a motion. Motion by Ms. Barnett for due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Aide. Discussion. Mr. Randolph.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. We received a phone call from Mr. Alexander last Thursday. And he does dialysis 3 times a week. Today was one of the days he done dialysis. He couldn't be here. And he needs his vehicle. Just for everyday things. His wife still drives, but he's unable. And there's no other financial resources. Due to us not having a discretionary fund. I did talk to the senior services. They said they weren't able to help him. And then social service, they sent out a social worker to see if they could get a hardship application for him. They went out to the house, but I don't know. I think it takes a little while to see what that. What we're asking for is half the money. The rest of it will be made through donations and fundraisers. But he really needs his vehicle. He's 76 years old. He's from Buck Creek. And the majority of his life he did in service of Buck Creek. He did a lot of things. And I just encourage you and hope that you would support this. And thank you. If you have any questions.
Thank you.
Any
questions?
Just
start in.
We have transportation to dialysis, like the, or maybe it's more of a question for Seneca, but the CHRs, is that not what they do?
Yes, we do transport for dialysis. It depends sometimes on the severity of what we transfer, but we have transferred for dialysis.
Okay, so is it like on a case-by-case basis?
We review them by case-by-case, yes.
Do you know if they've checked?
Well, I asked him about that, if they had utilized the CHR program. He said it's been a really, really long time since they used it. And when he did use it, he said there was some miscommunication. Mm-hmm. And he said then there was times the client load was higher than I guess they could help. But he said a long time ago, so I don't think he's probably crazy. I'm not sure. I just know he goes 3 times a week. So no, he went today.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear. What area?
He lives in Glenbrook.
Okay.
But I think other, you know, what I was thinking for, because I was thinking about you, the health and welfare, they're going to need a vehicle to get around anyways. I mean, everybody's got things that they have to do. Go to the grocery store. He does have one son that lives in the area that's able to help when he can, but they have one car. His wife works at Duval boarding school. And so that one car, they're trying to serve everybody, and they have 4 children. I think two of them might be in elementary, one in middle school, and one in high school. And they're all active, so.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Randolph, is he the one that should be the minister? Is he still?
Yeah, he was a preacher, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I know Mr. Alexander and... But you know the type of help he needs, that's just
everyday needs of most of our Creek citizens. And so I support this request because I know that they need their vehicle. Thank you.
Is there any more questions about Mr. Jennings?
Just a comment. I know Mr. Alexander and have helped him previously, but I can't support this particular action. I think it'll open up for other issues. So. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.
I would just, I was wondering if somebody would bring that up, but I think with everything, there's exceptions. And I think him being a senior citizen and at his age and, you know, the medical challenge he has, as well as his wife, has her own medical challenges. I think there has to be, we got to look at everything as a case by case. And in this case, I would hope that we would stand by our ways. You know, we say we're going to take care of our seniors and all that, and I would hope that we do.
Thank you. Mr. Jennings.
And along those same lines, I wouldn't be opposed if we went to, it's for a transmission, if we went to fleet management and see if they have some way or do an in-kind service for them to repair it or what have you. So, thank you.
Thank you. Any more questions? Roll call vote, please.
Shirley Nade.
Yes.
Dodie Barnett.
Yes.
James Jennings.
No.
Lucian Tiger.
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 3 in favor and 1 against.
3 in favor, 1 against. That motion passes and will be sent to BF&J for a funding source. Includes our legislation for other business. We have now discussion with Ms. Giles, Secretary of Community and Human Services.
Thank you for allowing me a few minutes. Oh, yeah. Just wanted to be able to talk to all the committee in an open setting just so that I know that you received NCA 15014 and it's assigned to joint committee. And obviously seeing the appropriation bill that was postponed, be able to answer some questions. Representative A.J. Jones is here as well. In this new proposed pilot program, which is looking at basically making the community employees of Shakota and Eufaula Nation employees, I am doing what I'm asked to do. So, there's a lot of things to be taken in consideration in that aspect as well. So, I wanted to make sure again I was available to answer questions. And kind of just give you an update from our standpoint, what we have been doing in looking at decentralizing services, if you will, and looking at that area. And I apologize, my map's not the most updated. When we originally started decentralizing services, we looked at it drive time, and we did basically an 18-mile buffer from the complex and our region, what we're calling our regional office, that's Wetumpka and Muskogee. As you can see, that still leaves Eufaula, that big chunk of our area, still without adequate drive times to the service area. Obviously, Shakota's a little bit closer, and we can get that map updated. So when we look at services from a program standpoint, we look at how many clients are in that area, how many we're serving. From our program standpoint, those haven't been our largest areas. Our largest areas were in the Northern District, so we had some offices move up into the Jinx area. Our next largest district would be in the Bristow Creek County area. So from programs, we were looking at, we can't make all of the nation be where, like we have in Wetumpka, but from programs saying, okay, here's our next highest service area, we're going to go and be in that area so that we're not spending all day in the car driving. So with this proposal, that's what we looked at, was looking at the current employees at the two community centers and making a recommendation and looking at some of their job descriptions and job duties and what they would be doing and what they could offer and how they could assist the nation in being nation employees. Again, offering a satellite so that those citizens don't have to drive to Creek Nation, to Okmulgee, to Muskogee, or to Wetumpka, but can stay in their home community. It goes back into the questions you probably are had looking at the appropriation budgets, and my understanding that's where this, a lot of this came from, was questions you have about how much the nation was spending outside of the nation. And that, those are questions, we can get into really big, long philosophical debates about communities and their place within the nation, their effectiveness within the nation, what's the purpose. And really, we have to really start asking those questions because communities were set up over 30 years ago, and here we are, 2015, and we're facing issues that what's the cost effectiveness of this, and is it a true service to our citizens? So those are the things we have to take into consideration and look at, and how can the nation utilize our resources and be good stewards of what we have and what we have available to expend for all of our citizens, and making those justifications why certain communities have certain programs or why they get certain appropriations. Those are all the things that we should always be talking, and we should all be at the table discussing what we can offer. And that's why when looking at the satellite office, making them nation employees, because again, that area is not really being serviced, how can we utilize those? We definitely can put them to work, and we definitely have more than enough we can do in addition to their community functions that they've been doing, adding additional duties so that we can start spreading people out. Obviously, you know, I'll just use senior services, for example, because we have quite a few maintenance and lawn crew within that appropriation, is trying to get out to those areas and service those areas. So if we convert the community employees to nation employees, their location would also expand as well in hitting some more of our communities. We've had to be very conscientious of what we do here at senior services, realizing we only have 4 maintenance crew that covers all of Creek Nation. We would have an additional 4 maintenance crew that we can add to what our senior services crew is already doing. In addition, again, to their building, they have some good skill sets within those communities as well that the nation is lacking, so we may be able to utilize them in other areas, other community centers. I know Eufaula has one of their maintenance is a certified electrician, so we could utilize him in some of our other areas as well. So I just kind of wanted to open it up, have Representative Jones be available, and start getting some feedback, because it's not, it is a pilot program. It was just handed to me, so I won't say I had a lot of time or to put a lot of thought into it. So with this pilot project, that would be the other piece of it, is doing the data collection. Is this cost effective? Is this feasible for the nation? Is it realistic to move in that area, knowing if we do, more communities may want that? And that's what the community has to ask upon themselves. Is this what we want to make sure we have still have staff in our building? They're not no longer our staff, but they're nation staff, and we're still offering a service to our people in our community. So the community has to ask, how independent or dependent do we want to be on the nation? Those are the questions, I think, that were already posed to both communities. Had a lot of rapport with Shakota, Eufaula was there on board, too, because they want to be able to offer staff in their area, whether they're nation employees or community employees.
So these two facilities are only 15 miles apart, and I know Representative Huff and I have discussed this over the weekend about the close proximity and maybe having it too heavy in one area in a population that isn't as densely populated as other areas. And I know that Representative Hill and I and Representative Huff, and I haven't talked about inclusion, I don't know if he's been approached, but we've been approached by the satellite office in Creek District before, because there's a lot of people in that area for Sand Springs, you know, and in that West Tulsa area, Sepulpa, Rumrite, Kellyville, and even Bristow. I mean, maybe it'd be about the same distance to go to Sepulpa as Bristow, maybe, or Sepulpa or Okmulgee, maybe a little bit farther back to Okmulgee, but we've been approached about that before. So was there any discussion? I mean, this is just strictly trying to retain those employees that currently are employed there.
I will have to refer to Representative Jones.
When we first started out, this is pretty much is what we were wanting to do, is acquire those employees to the nation, so that way that lessens that. But at the same time, eventually, we have all the communities that have employees of the nation. So every community that we have out there, we can actually start an office. Because we're always saying that we want to
We are always wanting to provide jobs. Well, our citizens already have all these communities and members of the nation. They could actually employ other nations. So, but when we first started out with Eufaula and Shakota, service, we know they're right there close together, but I think at one time we even talked about Bristow at the very beginning of this to be part of this. But right now, this is all we have is Eufaula and Shakota. But in the long run, we want to try to get all the communities where they end up having employees of the nation. But being what she said a little bit earlier, though, they still will do their same duties that they work for us. It's kind of a dual employee is how I can see it. I know they're going to work for the nation, paid by the nation. They'll still do the same things they do for their community now. The only thing is they're going to add to is the different services through social services, senior services, and we can actually do a bunch of modifications through senior services, social services, IT,